Okay, if you have your Bible, how many Bibles do we have? Let's see, raise them up high. Put the Bible up. All right, this is a Bible. It's a Bible. This is God's revelation to man. Now this is not a Bible. That's not a Bible. That is a hillbilly story. How that God saved me when I was just a little fella and called me. Bob Jones University has put it in print. And it's 363 pages. And now there are so many things that are left out of which I've put in. You know, may write things that I forgot. And I asked Dr. Vlader to bring that message, especially tonight. I had heard so much about how to forget your past. How to forget your past. I thought, and the women said, me in the hallways and different people that's been in these classes said, you know, I'd like to display the precept. So I was praying, and the Lord just laid it on my heart. And Dr. Flader, I tried to get it in the bulletin, and the computer messed up or something. But you will be bringing, that's it, your computer messed up, the computer malfunction. So tonight, you have things, how do you forget your past? You have things that you'd really like to forget. I'm going to tell you, I'd like to just remember the present, you know. I like to remember the present. But how do you forget the past? They tell me, those that have heard it, says that it is just tremendous. And it's the putting the Bible to practice in your life. So be here in time for that meeting, if you will, with Dr. Flader at 6 o'clock, and comes in time to pray. Let's spend some time in the prayer room. All right, we're walking with the King. We're walking with the King, and David, last Sunday, the actions, or the irrational actions of David as he rose and fled down for fear of Saul, went into the very city of Gath, where he had killed Goliath, and of course went into the army of the Philistines, shows you how irrational that a man's actions will be whenever he's backslidden or whenever he's running from God, trying to solve his problems in his own energy of the flesh. And he's emotional. Matter of fact, he acted like he was mad. He acted like he was crazy. Spittle would fall down from his beard in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And they said, this man's a madman. So his behavior was as a madman. He was emotionally acting, play acting. He was acting like a hypocrite. And he was acting like something that he was not. He was not mad. He was just trying to fool the enemy. And he went right into the hands of the enemy. And we start today with chapter 22. And 1 Samuel chapter 22, walking with the King. And you'll see David. Father, help us as we walk with the King. Help us to see our great David, who went into the cave of humiliation, the cave of judgment, the cave of justice for God's people. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed book and how it speaks to our heart as we read it. In Jesus' name, amen. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now, Adullam means humiliation, judgment. Really, it means justice for God's people. And a place of humiliation and judgment. And he went into the cave of Adullam. That's probably about 10 miles away from Bethlehem. And it's underground caverns. Not just one, but there are huge caves. But here, there's tunnels that goes from one cave to another, underground terrain that would take care of an army of men if you so needed to be. But David wrote as he escaped and went to Adullam, and that word Adullam, that means, that's what it means. It means humiliation. It means judgment. It's a picture of our great David as he went into the place of judgment and humiliation and justice for God's people. That's where he won the justice for God's people, whenever he was in the place of humiliation and shame. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontent, notice what a group of people, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother... Now watch, David is taking care of... He's putting his mother and father farther away from... farther away than he... and in another place. I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole. Now, here we have a man who is God's anointed, God's servant, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. And most sometimes they're brought on themselves. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know, while David was in the hole or in Adullam, he wrote two psalms. I'll deal with those two psalms next Sunday. But he wrote two psalms, and they stirred my heart as I read them and as I meditated upon them. And whenever you're going through a time of trial, and you're going through a real difficult, hard place in your life, you know what it does? Had David's heart never been wrung, David's songs would have never been sung. If you don't have some trials and hard places in your life, God can never get through the hard crust to get to where he can melt the old hard heart to where he can work. So David wrote eight psalms while he was running from Saul. Two he wrote while he was in the cave. And he moved from faith to fear. Now he's moved into the place of humiliation. He moved into the place to where he can, where God can deal with him. And he said, I want my mother and my dad to stay here until I know what God has for me. So there was a revival as David in chapter 22, verse 1, and David therefore departed thence and escaped into the cave. Now, when I thought about that, I thought about the spiritual revival that must have taken place in David's life. And the experience that followed his stay in Gath made a most remarkable difference in his response to his adversary. The actions he took is no longer characterized by panic, but by peace. And he writes Psalm 57, jot it down, I'll be with him next Sunday. And he wrote Psalm 57 in this cave, and he wrote Psalm 142 in the cave. And we'll not read them now. But peace now. He's depending upon God for his protection. He's depending upon God now to help him. And the very, very careful, he's not to let his emotions trust in him, but he's going to trust in the true and the living God. He makes some actions or adjustments here. And this is a picture of our great David as he went down into the very jaws of death itself, went down into the very fires of hell himself. And our great David, in the Old Testament, the fire consumed the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was completely consumed. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice consumed the fire. And you and I have no more dread and no more fear because we are in Christ and judged in Christ. Therefore, his atonement and his sacrifice was complete upon the cross. Oh, listen, it thrilled my heart as the man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and he said, birds of the air have a nest, and the foxes have home, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And you're seeing a picture of our great David as you follow along with walking with the king.
Why don't you consider some adjustments? And David now, there's a man that runs a legal life, and he's a man that needs to be encouraged. But he's trying to encourage others. Look at the involvement in the cave of his friends. Have you ever been in a place where there seems like there's nowhere out? You tried, you worked, and things no avail. That's what David had done. But victory came when you could pray for your friends. What did the Bible say? Job, all 39 chapters, 47 chapters. The Bible says, and God delivered Job from his captivity when he could what? Pray for his friends. And then God blessed Job and gave him twice as much as he ever had before in abundance. And whenever you get to where you can pray for your friends, Job had three friends, and they were his critics and telling him why all these things were happening to him. Well, the cave of Adullam experiences are very, very real. And David was a man that needed the encouragement, but now he's trying to encourage others. So look at the cave. Why did they come to him? Well, it was for protection. Four things about this cave that I want to look at. Number one, I want to look at the facts about the cave. Number two, the family at the cave. Number three, the followers at the cave. And number four, the faith at the cave. Now, number one, the facts about the cave. Two things, its location. Notice it says, and they departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And they went down. His father's house went down. In other words, they had to come down from Bethlehem into the terrain, subterrain, and went down into the cave. Being a history and geography lover, I have often, and I would love to go and look at these caves. Has anybody ever seen the cave of Adullam? Anybody ever been there? I would love to go and see it. I've seen pictures of it, and I've studied about them. But there were openings under the subterranean where that you could have armies. You've seen the lost caverns at Luray. That is caves something like that, and you go from one cave to another cave under the mountains of Bethlehem. So, in this location, it is in the Valley of Elah, where David had killed Goliath, near the town of Adullam, and the size of it was approximately, it could take 400 men. It says there was 400 men in this cave. 400 men. Now that includes women, that does not include women and children. And Adullam, I said, means justice of the people, or judgment, or humiliation. And remember, this was the anointed king of Israel. Having a hide in a cave. He was in the cave with meager living conditions. Living like as of a wild animal, a caveman. But the blessings of God many times comes in disguise. And it was good for the anointed king. Now, wait a minute. God could have taken and slew the armies of Saul with one stroke. God's a sovereign God. God could have just taken all those thousands of men. Sometimes there was 1,000 looking for David. Sometimes there's 3,000 looking for David. Then Saul got so angry, he had, now wait a minute, the whole army. He declared war on David to find one man. Now, what's God doing? God had anointed him a man, remember? And he's anointed. Everybody knows that he was God's anointed man. And we see God having a purpose in it. God has a purpose and a plan in everything that happens in a Christian's life. Amen? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Don't you think because you're saved that God's going to promise you a bed of roses? He never promises us an easy time upon this earth. He never promises us that it'll all be easy. But thank God he does promise us a safe landing. Amen. Now, watch this. It was a time of loneliness for the leader. It was a lonely, humble place for the anointed one, the leader of Israel. In Psalm 57:1, he cried out, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul thirsts for thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." He wrote that while David was in the cave. And he was crying out to God. God gave him those beautiful psalms. So the sovereign God was born in Bethlehem in a manger. God is showing us the place of humiliation. And the world has seen some of the most honored leadership and honored men be born in places of isolation almost. I was thinking of David, the great player of Goliath, forced to hide in a cave. Joseph, the man who would save a nation, was put in a hole by his brothers, lied about by the king's wife, and put in prison by Potiphar. Daniel was put in the lion's den. Jeremiah was put in stocks and sunk to the bottom of a mucky, miry place. Why? God's molding and making a leader. God's molding and making a man. God molds and makes churches. God molds and makes institutions. God molds us. God puts us into areas to where He wants to get our attention, get our heart. And God allowed David to do that. Now, if you're God's special person, don't be surprised when you're put into the cave of humiliation or the cave of judgment or the cave of justice for God's people. God puts a lot of these trials and hard places to come. So if the cave of the Dullum has not come in your life, it will, I promise you, you will have a cave of Adullam in your life before you go on the throne. So the world has despised the brethren. Brethren will reject you. Job's friends will accuse you. Brethren will try to destroy you. And this is the price of leadership. This is what happened. They said the Lord Jesus. Let's say about the Lord Jesus. Said he is a blasphemer and a wanderer. And they know, hey, the servant is no greater than his master. Don't be what? Hey, I looked at the headlines of the paper and almost wept. My heart breaks for the Trinity family and the deaths and the tragedy. But I saw what was a peace at last. And throwing the ashes on the water. And John F. Kennedy Jr. saying that going back to the water, he went to return. We didn't come from the water. That's evolution. That's heresy. That was the greatest advertisement for the Eastern religion and the New Age movement. The greatest advertisement for reincarnation. It was a heathen, it was a ritualistic funeral. And people think, well, he's at peace with God. Oh, God. That's what breaks your heart. Isn't it? That's what breaks your heart. Whenever you say, "Hot God! Hot God!" And there is an age of deception to where a man will believe a lie when he believes in God. Hot God! The God of the Bible! Or the God of heathenism! I want you to know something, folks. The cave of Adullam was one of David's greatest blessings. Don't sit around with your tongue hanging out and sit on the seat of your pants whenever your heart is hit. I want you to know, God wants to bless you. Amen. I'm ready for a blessing. I don't know about you. Sit around, look like your mother-in-law's moving in, not moving out. I'm ready for a blessing. Amen. The cave of Adullam was one of David's greatest blessings. One of his loneliest, but one of his most blessed times. Praise the Lord. Not only shows his loneliness to the leader, but the location in our lives. It was a place of loneliness to the leader, but it was a place of humiliation and judging, and God's working, and God's molding, and God's making a man. God's molding, and God's working, and God's making a church. I don't know what it does to you, but it heals my soul. Plow on, O King Eternal. Plow on, O King Eternal. Plow deep and root out all the hard rocks. Root out all the stumps. And plow on, O King Eternal. And make us into the image that you'd have us to be. My. I don't know who you can preach my mouth, that's the Think with me. If you're the favorite of God who's called a special task for God, don't be surprised that a cave of loneliness will come your way. You'll find it. The world hates you. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to find real Christianity. Somebody said, I don't know how to get what Rob Bell fights everything. Everything comes down to Christ. He's fighting. I thought that. I thought everything that taught it, but I believe what I'd love to send is you try to get him saved. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You just watch. God's getting more ready to blow part of a Baptist church. God's getting ready. And we're setting our sails straight into the wind. And we're heading to bow straight into and God's going to bless tabernacle. Oh, listen. Character is forged under pressure. Because the world hates you, the devil wants to destroy your affection for God and the world and the flesh despise you. And you're the enemy of every slanderous attack. But the cage of the devil is not the final chapter. It's not the end. One day, thank God, God will vindicate those who have been hated by the bitter tongue and the disobedient children of God. That day is coming. Mark it down. You see there's loneliness in the cave, in the place of humiliation. But look at that, not only the fact that it's good, but look at that time years ago. I like this. Look, it says David's parents and his brother and some relatives. This is two things. Twofold purpose, they joined David. Well, first of all, to support him. Secondly, they're for safety. It came to the cage of rejection. Here was God's anointed king who had been rejected by his chief and his own family. Do you remember Big Brother? Do you remember Big Brother? What are you doing up here, little boy? Going back and watch the sheep. Elihub. Remember old proud cocky Elihub and all of the boys that David's favorite seven brothers that had been great as soldiers? Had to humble himself and come back to those days. Watch. His own brothers. Oh, how it must have hurt our great days of 26 little sheep being deceived and going off into the briars and following the guy and the wicked man. And David enjoyed the support of his family. They had rallied. And Elihub, who had been bitter, and he had resented David. And when the sheep came to the shepherds came to the priest and they come to a dumb experience in your life, what happened? This David, the king of the safety. Saul was mad. He was out to kill all the descendants of the king. And he was angry. And who was his followers? Well, you see the family that looks at the followers of the day. The situation is like, let us underline these words. Look, there's three things I want you to underline. Number one, they were in distress, they were in debt, and discontent. Man, what a membership. I mean, have you ever stopped to think about that? Now, I've read several commentaries on this, and I didn't agree with any of them. Because I got the Bible. Now, the Bible was a motley crew. I read some commentaries that say this commentary, these are motley drugs and drugs in society. They were the drugs of society. They were gross. They were misfit. They were such a group. They were in debt, distress, and discontent. But wait a minute. You know who these men are? These are men who refused to follow Saul. They had to help themselves to stand against that beast. Because if you look over in chapter 8, and here's what changed my mind about these men. These men, whenever God told Samuel, go ahead and give them a king who will take their daughters, a king who will be, who will, in chapter 8, verse 13, he will take your daughters and be confectionaries, to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields, he will take your vineyards, he will take your olive gardens, and the best of them and give them to his servants, and he will take the fruits of your seed you tithe where you want to, and you and your vineyards, and give it to the officers of his servants, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them in his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and he wait a minute. These men who came to David refused the feudal system of this wicked King Saul. These men had some character, but they'd gotten to the place where they were so discouraged and depressed, and they had refused to go along with it. Maybe royal men. You know how I know that? These are the mighty men that did great exploits for David. These are the mighty men who broke through the ranks, of the Philistines and went down and got a drink of water for David. This is some of these mighty men. Some of the exploits that these mighty men did. Take a jawbone of their ass and slay 1,000 people. Don't tell me this is a motley crew. This was a crew who stood against the feudal system of wicked Saul. Have said, I don't care. I'm going outside the camp, and I'm going to stand with my great David. I'm going outside the camp. Call me an outsider. Call me what you want to call me. I'm going outside the camp, and I'm going to go down to the place of humiliation. I'm going to go in the place of judgment and let God do a work. And I'm not going along with this worldly system. I'm going to say something. There'll not be many times whenever the pepper and the fire really gets on you. There'll not be many folks. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, this is not so. The reason these men are in this condition is because they have not gone along with Saul's government. And they refused. And they left and humbled themselves and said, so, later read the great exploits these men. These men were noblemen. Men who refused to commit to the despotism of King Saul. In distress and debt and discontent, I did not reflect the sufficiency of his character, but the sufficiency of Saul's character. It showed that Saul was doing the what he said he was going to do, and it shows that these men had real character to say, no, I'm going to be identified with the anointed kingdom. These were a blessing to David, not a burden. And David's mighty men, and God used them. They weren't rebel rousers. They weren't criminals. They weren't deadbeats. They weren't untrustworthy and destructive people, but men who wanted to be identified with God's anointed and be used of God. And these men went on and built the greatest king and the greatest kingdom in the land. Sort of about 400 of them. The size of the following, about 400. Scripture shows that there were 1,000 or 3,000, maybe a whole army after David. But the size is not the criteria. God's truth is the criteria for the blessing. So they went and identified with him. Said, David went and took his mom and dad, and they dwelled. And they were choosing to be taken in. And they went, and so David took care of his family. So I like that. David took care of mom and dad. In my little book, I'm as naked and as open as I can be. And I know I left so much out, and I owe so much to my mom and my dad. But my dad was a drunkard and did not know how to show love. But I know he loves me. And I think about how God has had to teach me how to show love. And still teaching me. People think that the mountain man is a hard, hard, patient, mean man. I can show several cases. Several pages, all the pains of Adullam God had to put me in, to strip me of self-reliance, and to strip me of self-centeredness, and strip me. There's 1, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 perspectives
And what is it like to be the wife of Rod Bell, the daughter, the older son, the younger son, the grandson, the secretary, the beginning? They've written their chapter. But you know something? They don't know me. You don't know me. My wife doesn't know me. There's only one that knows me. And my God in heaven knows me, and he keeps the record. And he keeps good books. And makes no error. Sister Peter never goes on the bench. He's got it all down, brother. And why did that be this? I thought of the pains and the development that God has put me in, my family, to teach me. And God's wanting to put you into a church. You have an development experience. A son in jail, a daughter in prison, or as you know, you feel them hurt, you hurt. I thought about the Kennedy. I hate them. Although I could not disagree with them more. I hate them. But I think of the billions and the billions of dollars that Joseph Kennedy made in selling these. And the curse of God. And woe be unto him that the strong drink to his mother's lips. And I'm not saying, I don't know, but I'm simply saying that there will come an abdellum experience in your life. And you will get better and go on to greater things for God, or you'll get bitter, and you will stay in the cave, or you might even go back into the, and try to hide with the Philistines. But we'll watch David. I want to give you these two signs. Next Sunday. We get the two songs that David wrote while he was in the cave of adultery. My, what a joy, what a blessing that came out of that. Whenever Samson killed the lion, what did he do? He was on his way down to Timnath. Coming back from Timnath, he looked over and he saw a carcass of that lion that he slew. And he walked over to that carcass, and there was a bee had made some honey in it. And there was a beehive. And I've often said, now being a mountain boy, I can visualize this. He went, walked over, and he got the, it was in the honey of that carcass, and got a handful of honey. And the Bible said he ate some honey himself, and then took handfuls to his parents. Now here's the application. What you do whenever you slay a lion in your life, and you have a lion attack you, or you have a lion experience, and you slay that lion in the power of the Spirit, later on in your life, you will go back and draw honey, strength, out of that carcass for yourself and to give to others. God gives you lion experiences and golem experiences to where you'll mature, develop, and get into the Word and know the Word and develop the inner man to be more like Jesus from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And thank God for every experience of a golem. Now these two times, you don't want to miss them. The sound of the head bowed, my eyes closed.